Okay, tonight we are going to complete the four studies in our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. And these four lessons that tonight will end these four lessons, not our complete study, but these four lessons on how to live a life, have a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. And I cannot overemphasize the importance of tonight's study. And to be able for the Spirit to open your eyes and ears to the passage before us. Is it possible? Is it possible in today's world to live your life without stress, anxiety, and depression? Regardless of what's going on in your marriage, in your life, health, all these things, is it possible? So let's prepare ourselves, first of all, in a word of prayer, testing ourselves to see if we're trusting the Spirit to open our eyes to the things that He would have us to see and hear. Let's pray. Well, we come down to Heavenly Father as we study Christians who are distressed in their soul and depressed for any number of reasons. Abuse as children, abused as husbands and wives, friends, Christian associates, circumstances of life. Are you able to give a life free of stress and depression, regardless of the circumstances of life? But as we pray, as we study tonight, Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes and our ears to what kind of God you are and how this seemingly impossible way of life can be a reality. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We got so much to cover. We're going to put into 1 hour tonight a passage that, one verse, that merits 10 hours of study. But I want to complete this. I don't want this to go on. I want this to be a four-hour session study on the how. So let's open the Scriptures, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 26. Please open the Scriptures to Isaiah 26. I know that you have had a lot to do today from last night's study, but no repetition, no anything. We ended last night. We're looking at some Scripture, and this will be our final Scripture in dealing with the things that we studied the first night, our first 2 hours of this study, just laying out all the principles, and now we're looking at how it works as far as Scripture is concerned, the AM-FM concept. All right, Isaiah 26, and we're going to look at verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. The steadfast of mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in thee. Before I go any further, perfect peace inside your soul describes the absence of stress, depression, distress that goes on in people's lives. Perfect peace. I want you to know this verse so well in dealing with the freedom, enjoying a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. In listening to your soul, to your mind, and stop listening to your soul and to your mind. Directing your thinking and follow through, which is what we left off with last night. Now, the first thing I would like to do in Isaiah 26:3, that's for you, Jim. Isaiah 26:3, the first thing I want to do is I want to deal with the order of the verse. Because in the Greek and Hebrew, order, the order in which things occur, is important. Not so important in English. You and I have a mind that thinks in subject, verb, and then the object, whatever that might be, however, whatever object we're going to have. So our minds think that way. So in English, we will put the subject, the verb, and the object. Not so in Greek and Hebrew. You can have the subject anywhere, the object anywhere, and the verb anywhere, and often the emphasis is on where these are placed. Now, the King James. Let me kind of go through this with you now. The King James and the NIV both place the emphasis on what God will do, therefore, first. The King James will keep him in perfect peace. The NIV says, you will keep in perfect peace. The Hebrew. And I'm going to word it this way. God's order, the condition, is given first, given the emphasis. And so if the mind, the Hebrew is yes, sir. I'd write it on the board. It wouldn't mean anything to you unless you knew Hebrew. And I'm not here to impress you. What's more important is what the word means. You just have to trust me. I studied it in the Hebrew, digested it in the Hebrew, but I'm going to not deal with that part. Deal with what it says. The Hebrew is yetzer. Now, what is important about the Hebrew is in this word, Y-E-S-T-E-R. What is important is that this word deals, we took the very elementary concept of the word, the form, the fashion, the purpose. So what we come here to is what is formed in the mind. What is formed? This is important to our study of stress, anxiety, and depression in your life. Thought precedes stress, anxiety, and depression. Now, enough times that you should be familiar and easy with that. We choose to be depressed. It's not something that just arbitrarily happens. No, we choose it. It's in the mind. Stress, anxiety, and depression. Your mind brings these things into your being. You choose to be sad, SAD, stress, anxiety, depression. So, rather than fight it, oh, no. No, people, this is good news. That stress, depression, that these things are not just something that bring them on, we choose to be this. Well, it's good news because this means that the solution to stress, anxiety, and depression is also in your mind. Bring depression on ourselves, not circumstance and not others. I choose to be depressed. I choose to be stressed out. I choose to have anxiety. So what we can see right from the beginning, sad, regardless of the circumstances of your life, regardless of people in your life, regardless of dreams that never came true, regardless of health, I don't care what the circumstances are, you can stop it. You may not be able to do anything about the circumstance, but this doesn't matter. God, I don't want this to happen. Doesn't matter. It has happened. We cannot go back and make it unhappen. Then what are we going to do about it? We can not do anything about the circumstances, but we can do something about the stress, depression that is in our souls. We can't do anything about going back and redoing this. But you do not have to experience stress, anxiety, and depression that often accompanies these things in so many people. In the Hebrew, the mind. In other words, what is framed in the mind, therefore, mindset. Therefore, our concept of mindset. The New American Standard and the NIV describe the mindset as, take a look now, the New American Standard and the NIV describe this mind as steadfast. Steadfast is the way that the NIV, New American Standard, describe it. A steadfast mind. This is very important. The correctness of this word, correct understanding of this word, steadfast. First thing I want to get into your mind in this word, it's a verb. It's a verb. It's not a noun. It's not a descriptive noun. It's a verb. It's the cow of Kamak. So we have a verb and the cow stem, which is the ordinary stem. The verb means to lean upon, to take hold of, to lean on, to rest in, to set oneself, to stand fast, to sustain. Those are right out of the lexicon. Kamak. So it says steadfast mind. It's a verb. It means to lean upon, take hold of, lean on, rest in, set oneself, stand fast, sustain. Now, what I want you to get out of this word, out of the steadfast mindset, the activity of the mind, the steadfast mindset, the word is a dependent verb. It is passive. It is a passive in this text. It is passive. It is not active. It is not active. This is going to be very important in building this whole study on how we're going to rid ourselves of stress, anxiety, and depression. You do not have to be one of these people that have a very strong mind in the physical or secular or their physical flesh nature. There are people in the flesh nature that have a very strong mind. They have very great, they have strong self-discipline, mental discipline. There are people who can just study for hours and hours and hours and hours, intense study, and never look up. There are people who can endure a great deal of pain and suffering and never look up. It's all up here. So we're not talking about that. This is not an active verb. It is a passive verb. So that is going to be very important in putting all of this together. Very important. So our verb now is a steadfast mind. How you ladies doing? We're in Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3. Okay. A steadfast mindset. And we have an idea now of what steadfast means. It means a mindset of leaning upon, of resting in. Can I use the word trust? Well, it's not a normal synonym of faith. But it's that concept. This is what our mind is doing. The Hebrew word introduces what we called last night follow through. Just a continual mindset, a continual leaning is what we're dealing with. Isaiah 26:3. The mindset that is steadfast. And we're looking at the word steadfast. It describes follow through. This word goes along with the end of the verse. Look at the end of the verse. Because he trusts in you. So this word, this verb, goes with trusting. It's a follow through of, as you are going to continue to maintain this mindset, people, something is going to happen in your soul, in your mind, in regard to stress, anxiety, and depression. It describes a mind that has switched over to FM, faith mindset, and stays there. Doesn't go over to AM, the Adamic mindset. It stays in the faith mindset. Takes hold of a thought process. Stands there. Stand fast in that process, in that thinking. To stay on the FM, to keep listening to FM. Faith mindset. The word means to rely, to rest. It's a passive verb. And it means to be dependent. It describes a dependent mind, not an independent mind, a dependent mind, a mind that is dependent on God, not on the circumstances of life. It describes a mind, a dependent mind, that is a mind dependent on God, a steadfast, a depending on God mindset, if you please. It describes a mindset of walking by faith, of trusting. Now, in this passage, we are told on what the mindset should stay. Look what it says now. On what should our mindset stay on? We are told on whom this mind is dependent. On you. On you. The mindset stayed on you, on God. Continue. Not, it isn't going to switch over to AM and think about the circumstances of life. It is not going to switch over and think about, oh, woe is me. I'm married to this bum. I don't have the money. This is happening in my life. It's too late in my life. I can't get well. This is going on. My children are, whatever area that would cause you distress, anxiety, and depression, everything from driving down the highway or the freeway to some major things that happen in life. What's your mindset? Your mindset that is stayed on you. That is on God. Interpreting everything that is happening in a relationship with God. Keep on listening to the Holy Spirit. Keep on a mindset of the things above. A mindset of who you are in Jesus Christ. Not who you would like to be in the world. Not what you would like to be in the world. Not what you would like to have accomplished at this point in your life or didn't accomplish. Are trying to accomplish, what you have or don't have, but a mindset that is stayed on God, who I am in Christ, things that are above and things that are eternal. Okay, our passage. The mindset stayed on you. Now remember, what we're looking at is the Hebrew order of the words, because they're very important. You got to start with this. You got to start with this. It starts with something going on in you. And we're going to talk about that as we go through this. So here we learn a little about faith. We learn some more about faith. We studied in a series, Crisis of Faith, that God is not looking for more faith. If God is looking for more faith, greater faith, a lot of faith, then faith becomes a work. And that's what is called the faith moment movement, which I've been accused of by critics who just want to tear down and don't want to really understand. But there is a movement called the faith movement that is wrong, because they have made faith a work. If you had enough faith, this wouldn't have even happened in your life. If you had enough faith. No, people, God isn't looking for more faith. The standard of measurement is always, as far as faith is concerned, a grain of mustard seed. That's all he's looking for. He's not looking for more faith as though a magnitude of faith. You needed only a grain of mustard seed of faith for God to save you. But now if you want a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression, you're going to have to give God more than that. You're going to have to give God a watermelon size of faith, not a grain of mustard seed. Then faith becomes a work. God doesn't need more faith from you. All God needs in the midst of the most difficult circumstance in your life, which may last for a long time in your life, you just moment by moment, a little grain of mustard. See, that's the mindset stayed on Him. So that's a minute, and 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 boy, it's tough. Because, oh God, how I want to go into the flesh and feel sorry for myself. How I want to go into the flesh and say it's unfair. How I want to go into the flesh and just cry about how this didn't work out and how my husband's a horrible person or my wife's a horrible person or I don't have a husband or I do have a... All and on and on and on. How we want to go into the flesh. But I'm going to keep this mind stayed on Thee. I'm going to keep this mind passively on God, moment by moment. And if I fudge just for a moment, the AM is going to set in, the endemic nature is going to set in, and I'm going to be so depressed, distressed, and need drugs and counseling and alcohol and all the rest of it because it took your mind off, see? But you just get back, and it's that moment by moment. Sometimes that's all that a person can conjure up is just a moment, and people, that's all that God needs. He doesn't need you to have a mountain of faith. He just needs a little grain of mustard seed that minute. Just trust me that minute. And then the next minute, and then the next minute. And we'll have more about faith as we go through this study. A mindset stayed on you describes moment by moment of trusting Him. When that is what is required, your life is just in such turmoil, like we studied with Job and David, and we've already looked at some of their passages. Job wishing he had never been born, cursing the day he was born. That's how horrible his soul was, and the depression, the stress, and the distress of his soul, moment by moment of just trusting Him. Problem in life, circumstance in life, in the present, or because of the past, you were molested or abused or neglected or something in the past, and boy, and you're hanging on to that, and you can't move on. You can't move on. Yes, you can. God has provided a very simple way, just that moment by moment mindset on Him. You change the channel to FM from AM. And then you just, moment by moment, trust Him, think of Him, interpret all that has happened in your life according to His grace and His mercy. A mindset stayed on you. Now, a mindset stayed on Him means interpreting everything that happens in your life according to who you are in Christ. People, I've said this so many times, God doesn't want your understanding sometimes. Maybe you can't figure it out. Why in the name of everything that is holy did this happen in my life? If I could just understand, one thing that characterizes the Bible church movement to a fault, we want to understand everything. Oh, if I learn the Greek and the Hebrew and study, I'll understand everything. No. Sometimes what God wants is not your understanding, but your trust. Will you trust me? And you can't fake this kind of trust because it's the absence of stress and depression and anger and all the things we'll look at. Do you trust me? It's where Job had to go his whole journey. And how did Job end up? He just said, I don't understand. Job 42. You're God. I trust you. That's what God is often looking for. Doesn't mean we don't study Scriptures, people. That's my whole life. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit will give to you is a love of the Scriptures, to study them and understand them. But not so that you and I can understand everything that's going on. Because He is God. When we think we need to understand everything, Christians get very discouraged and despondent and even distressed. I can't understand what's going on. I'm not distressed about what's happening in my life. I'm distressed that I can't figure out why it's happening. How foolish. That's when God wants you just to trust Him. Not try to figure out what is happening. Now for our study on stress, anxiety, and depression. What happens when you have a mindset on money? What happens when you have a mindset on your economic circumstances? The money you don't have, the money you'd like to have, how money would solve this problem, and how money would solve that problem. Have your mindset on it, and you think about it, and you think about it, and it's always there. That's your mindset. Your mindset is always on money. Having money. That's your mindset. Mindset on success. Mindset on sex. Mindset on drugs. Mindset on family. Oh, my family. Oh, they don't love me and we don't get together and my son's over there, my daughter's over there, my parents over there, and nobody loves me. Mindset. We're in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. That's your mindset, see? So you become distressed. You become depressed. Because your mindset is on your family and what isn't happening and what you thought would happen. God has given people, a father and a mother, the great privilege of taking a little child, loving it, nourishing it, training it, teaching it, and building it up and doing all these wonderful things. And instead the child is molested, abused, neglected, told they're no good, told they're a loser. Man marries a woman marries a man to have a companion in life, to have a friend in life, to have encouragement in life, to just have somebody, not in a sexual, only in a sexual sense, but just somebody that's on your side in life, and instead what they turn out to be is your greatest enemy. Run you down. Always attacking and neglecting and not caring. People, all these things start building up in our lives and finances, and but we have a mindset, and all the time that's all we can think about, how unfair and how wrong this is. Of course I'm depressed. Of course I'm distressed with life. Look at my circumstances. No! You're not distressed because of the circumstances of life. And I will not let anybody say that after studying the Word of God. You are distressed because you have chosen to be, not because of the circumstances of your life. I believe that with all my heart. You have chosen to be. It is not your circumstances. It is not others. That's your mindset. That's your mindset. And so we just deal with this over and over in our mind, things of the flesh. Things that are what we saw last night, dead. Dead, already in death. But what happens inside of you when you keep your mindset on the things above, on the Holy Spirit, on Him, in the very same circumstances? The same abused childhood. The same abused husband and wife. The same unfulfilled dreams. The same horrible conditions economically, financially, health, family. And you keep your mind stayed on Him. You keep your mind on who you are in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You keep your mind in those things that are above, and watch what happens in your soul. Is this possible? Yes, it is. Very possible. Is salvation, eternal life possible to the most horrible scoundrel in the world? Yes. And so is a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. It's up to you. You've already learned how. I think this is one reason that God made our salvation by one act of faith, so that you'll always know how to receive a blessing from Him. You've already done it once. You did it that one little second, and you received eternal life. What do you think is going to happen if you put those seconds into a minute, and that minute into an hour, and that hour on into the momentum of your life? Look what God can do. Look what God can do. So it's up to you. It's your mindset. Just think about what will happen if I keep my mindset on Him, on those things that are eternal, those things that are in reference to God. Now God can act in your life as it is to do these things. Now listen, God is not going to act. Now I'm not saying He's not going to in the sense of never, but in the sense of principle of what we're studying. It is not, I'll put it that way, it is not that God is going to act in your life. He's going to act in your soul. Be sure you make this distinction inside of you. He's not going to change everything in your life. He's going to create a peace in your soul. Your circumstances may never change, but oh, watch the peace. Watch the absence of stress, anxiety, and depression. God is not necessarily going to act in your life so as to take away that man you're married, or that husband that you married, or that woman that you married, or the way your family's treating you, or your financial difficulties, or your looks, or your lost dreams, or this or that, or everybody else on the freeway. He's not going to give you an open freeway with nobody on any lane in front of you. He's not going to do that. What He's going to do is something supernatural. He's going to give you peace in the midst of whatever's going on in your life. It's what kind of God He is. So He will not necessarily change the circumstances of your life, but He will do something supernatural inside of you. He will keep you in perfect peace. Now we're ready for what God does. Look what God does. You
will keep. Now, who's the subject here? Who's the subject? And who's you? God. Not you. You are not going to produce this peace. Be sure you can understand the Scriptures. God is the subject. You, God, will keep. So, as I maintain this steadfast mind stayed on Him, watch what happens. Not just parallel. See, I started to draw a parallel line. I got a better one. Superimposed on this line. Peace. I don't have two lines up there. You maintain FM thinking, a mind stayed on Him, regardless of what's going on around you, God will keep you in this peace. He'll keep you in that peace. So look, it says, will keep. The Hebrew, matzar. People, it's a beautiful word describing what God the Holy Spirit is doing inside your mind. It means to guard you. It means to protect you. It means to maintain or keep you in this peace. That's why I said this verse, it deserves 6 hours of study, and I'm going to do it 1 hour. It's a beautiful, beautiful word. Don't tell me that it is 5 minutes after eight. There is no way it can be five after eight. Okay. Now, the word describes, I'm preaching, I don't know how. I'm on page 19, and I got to get to page 25. Okay. And we've done 2-3 pages. Okay. God, look at our word, will keep. It means to guard you. People, here's all these circumstances in your life. Here's your childhood abuse. Here's this husband, this wife, the finances, the government, your work, the boss, society, your friends, whatever, your health. All this is going on around you. And guess what God is going to do? He's going to guard you. People, it's a beautiful word of the work of God here in your soul. He's going to guard you. You know what a guard does if you've been in the military? A guard stands back and won't let anyone pass. That's why you post the guard. And the guard marches and just has got his post. And he guards, and no one can pass. He guards and protects whatever's behind him. God protects you. And what's he doing? He's protecting this peace. And I'm not going to let in. God, what I tell you, what we see last night, FM cannot come through AM, AM cannot come through FM. God will not allow stress, anxiety, and depression penetrate His guard. Now, if you go to AM, the Adamic frame mindset, that's your business. But as long as you will trust Him, He'll guard you. I'll not let depression come in. I'll not let anxiety come in. I'll not let those things enter. I'll guard you. This is what God does inside of us. I want you to see this verse. It's so beautiful. God will keep, guard, maintain that mind. And look what it says. In perfect peace. Now, before we look at this, let's ask a question. How is God going to do this? How is God going to keep you in perfect peace? Some would like to say, and I'm sorry, I used to teach it, God will do this if you learn lots of Bible doctrine. Okay, then that's me doing it, isn't it? I've got to learn it. I've got to apply it. It says here God is going to do it. How is God going to do this? How is God going to keep you in perfect peace? How's He going to do it? I'm going to take a chance. Huh? And how's He going to keep me in peace in my mind? Huh? Holy Spirit. What is peace? Let's just start so we're all on the same framework. In Galatians chapter 5, what is peace? Fruit of the Spirit. Thank you so much. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is by God. How does God do this? I want you to understand this verse, people. God does this through the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to see it experientially. The absence of stress, anxiety, and depression in your life is a ministry of God the Holy Spirit in perfect peace. Now, perfect peace, what you have is shalom, shalom. Another beautiful, rich word. I just wish I had time to just talk about everything here, but it would be more hours than we're going to be. All right, shalom, shalom. Now, the reason that it is repeated in the Hebrew is to give it the emphasis which we qualify or interpret as perfect peace. I won't go into that any further. We could talk a lot about that, the repeating of the word. But let's just talk about what it's saying. This peace that God is going to give you is pure. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Can you have pure peace and be distressed? Huh? No, it's impure. It's impure. He gives you pure peace, perfect, free of the weakening diseases of stress, anxiety, and depression. Freedom from sad. Freedom from these things. Inner peace, which means no stress, anxiety, and depression, regardless of the circumstances in your life. Shalom, peace, happiness. It also means safety. Beautiful words that describe what is going on inside of you, describing what you can experience, people, in the most difficult of times or circumstances in your life. I know it's distressful. Financial problems that people have and are going to have. There's nothing like not having a job or losing everything you had. What it does to your self-esteem, especially to a man with being brought up where the man provides. Nothing more distressful than your body being diseased or down or broken. That's a great distress. Very distressful to start getting old and not have the dreams that you thought about. It's very distressful lying in a bed night after night with a spouse who doesn't want to have sex at all. It's very stressful. It's very distressing to go through things we have to put up with at work in the court systems of the country with people, circumstances. It's not fair. All these types of things that we could talk about. Just not a, and here's a beautiful word. In the midst of all of that, you can have. You can actually have this peace, this beautiful peace. Jesus Christ says, peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. How does the world give peace? People, the world gives peace, one, by removing the problems. The world gives you a peace by removing problems. The world gives you a peace by shutting out the world. The whole concept of yoga, transcendentalism, just get your mind and just totally take out of the whole being your problems, your family, your things that you are not getting that you want, things that happened in your childhood, things that are happening to you right now, how you're being abused. Just think those things away with beautiful thoughts and beautiful sounds. People, let me tell you something about the peace that God gives. God gives you peace in the midst of the real world. He gives you this peace in the midst of while you're lying in bed with somebody who doesn't even want you. He gives you peace when you can't even pay the bills, when things are happening in your life you can't even understand. You don't like what's going on. He gives you peace, not by taking you away from the world, but right in the middle of it. People, God does not change the world's circumstances. God supernaturally, by the means of the Holy Spirit, gives you inner peace. God supernaturally, by means of His Son, gives you what? Eternal peace. Peace eternally with God. Now for the pattern, for those who will trust Him, He supernaturally will give you inner peace experientially in your life. This is why He sent the Spirit. Two sendings by God. The first sending by God is His Son to give you eternal peace. You have every one of you in this room, I just hope with all hope that you know and you have no problem about what's going to happen when you die. That you're at peace
as far as death is concerned. Maybe you're not ready to die tonight, but when you die, you're at peace with it. I'm going to go to heaven. I know that. What wonderful peace. People, you can have the same thing regardless of the circumstances in your life, because He sent His Spirit. He sent His Son to give you that eternal peace. He sent His Spirit to give you experiential peace. God does not have to get rid of your husband. God does not have to get rid of your wife to remove so that you will not experience stress, anxiety, and depression. God does not have to straighten everybody else out on the freeway. God does not have to straighten out everybody at work. God doesn't have to give a chicken in every pot. God doesn't have to do all of these things so that you will have a life free. He doesn't have to do that. He's not that kind of God. He's not limited. He can get right into your soul. He doesn't have to change a person. You are not doomed. Oh, God, I'm doomed. I'm doomed to a life of misery. No, you're not, unless you choose to be in your mindset. And that's what most Christians do. What I'm showing you here is that God is saying, I don't have to change a thing around you. What I can do inside your soul is give you unbelievable peace. God does not have to solve your financial problems. He doesn't have to give you money or take away the bills or move you to some remote place somewhere. He can still give you peace in the midst of the most adverse circumstances. God does not have to go back and take away the fact that you were abused as a child. He doesn't have to go back and turn back the time that you were molested or maltreated as a child to give you a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression today. He doesn't have to do that. He's a phenomenal God. He can just come right into your soul, boom, and give you this peace that we have here. God can remove stress, anxiety, and depression from your life without changing the circumstances of your life. Now let's look at this. Peace, happiness, safety. This describes what? It describes people who you are in Christ. It describes you as the new spiritual creation. These are those two natures inside of you. One's the flesh, one's the new spiritual creation, who you are in Christ. This word describes it. You're at peace. My God, people, can anyone here tell me you can sit there and think that who you are in Jesus Christ, eternally saved, and be depressed? No. But if you add, well, if you want to add now about what's going on in the world, that's my whole point. Stay away from that. If you can sit here and tell me that if you can just think about who you are in Christ, that God has saved you eternally, that God is going to glorify you forever with Him, and you can tell me you're going to be distressed and depressed, upset about that? No. When do we get stress, anxiety, and depression? We come back down to this rotten world, and we look in the mirror. We look at our house. We look at our car. We look at our payments. We look at our health. We look at our husband. We look at our wife. We look at our children, and they look at us. That's when it sets in, isn't it? But if we and I could just keep our mindset who we are in Christ, see, this is what He can do. In Christ there is peace. In Christ there is His happiness. In Christ, you're safe. It doesn't matter all these circumstances. This is who you are. So experience it. Steadfast mind, the mind that has stayed on Him, FM, you will keep in perfect peace. Now God says one more time, gives us one more time what the real issue is. So just in case you missed it, here it is. Look what it says. Because He trusts in thee. Just in case you missed it, the point is trusting Him. The Hebrew because, it's a particle indicating, now stay with me, this is important. I don't give you superfluous information on this tonight. The particle in the Hebrew is used to indicate causal relationship. Because. Now we're going to learn something about faith. Because He trusts in thee. Okay. I want a new sheet for this. Nice and clean. Because. Causal. He. He is you. Who is He? Okay? Because you, believers, because He trusts in thee. Okay? Because He trusts in thee. I got a question. trust God to do what? Here's the heart. What are you trusting God to do? If you're trusting God to change your circumstances, forget it. You're going to be more stressed because now you've related God to your problems. You're really going to be stressed now. I trusted you to save my marriage. You didn't do it. Oh, you don't love me anymore, God. Oh, I'm really mad. And there are Christians that do that. There are Christians who are trusting God to save their marriage. There are Christians who are trusting God to take care of their financial problems. There are Christians who are trusting God to cure their cancer and all of this and all of that. Is that the faith God is looking for? No. One of the most crucial issues is what is the faith God is looking for? If you're trusting God in the midst of circumstances, I am trusting you to change the circumstances of my life. God, I'm trusting you to change that bum I'm married to. And then I can have peace. Well, you just might as well sit back for a stressful life. Because that bum is not going to be changed. He doesn't want to be. What are you trusting God to do here? See, this is the crucial part of the whole study of Job, people. What's Job trusting God to do? Job's trusting God at the beginning of Job. I'm trusting you, God. I do my part. You do your part. I trust you that if I'm good, you do good to me. That's what Job was trusting. And it didn't work. Chapter 42, what does Job say? You're God. I trust you. Whatever you do, I'm not going to try to understand it. I'm not going to try to figure it out. You're God, and I trust you to work all things together for your good. I trust you. People, this is a crucial phrase at the end here. Because he trusts in thee. It doesn't say trust in thee to remove my circumstances, change my circumstances, make everything okay, teach everybody on the highway how to drive correctly. Get this done. Get that done. Let me win the lottery. Do this. Do that. There are Christians who are trusting God to win the lottery. And they don't understand why God isn't acting in their life. Preachers have done a very great disfavor to a lot of people on prayer and on faith. Got a marital problem. Trust God to save your marriage. God doesn't save your marriage, but I trusted you, God. It's not the faith I'm looking for, God says. Will you trust me no matter what happens in your life? Will you trust me? Will you trust me when there's no reason to trust me? Will you trust me when you can't figure it out? People, what did we read in Colossians even again last night? Things are hidden. Your life is hidden. It'll be revealed when He is revealed. God, I don't understand what you're doing. I really don't understand. I don't understand what you're doing here, God. It just seems like this would all work out better for your glory if you'd do this. So I don't understand. I don't want your understanding. Will you trust me? All I want you to do is just trust me. I'll reveal what I'm doing in your life way down here at the revelation, at the revealing of my Son. I'll reveal it. You trust me. I'm God. Be at peace. What is he going to? I trust you. The Hebrew word here is the strongest word for faith. It's the word batak. Faith, confidence, security. You are dependent on Him. You trust Him. People, do you understand what I'm saying here? You are not dependent on the circumstances of life. You are not dependent. You're not trusting the circumstances of your life to change. You're not trusting that He'll change your husband, your wife, your past, your present, your future. You're trusting Him. You're depending on Him. You will not experience this peace, people, if you blame God, if you're angry at God, if you're doubting God or questioning God. When going through suffering and adversity and financial problems and marital problems and romance, other kinds of problems, drug problems, sex problems, drinking problems, all kinds of patterns of sin and on and on and on. Go through all of these things that are going on in our souls and in our lives. Problems with others, problems at work, problems in security, problems with age, problem with loss. Security, big word in America, social security. Planning for the future, put away all this money and poof, like that, it's gone. It's gone! All it takes is greed of people like an Enron, and there goes people's whole future. their security of their old age. People, if your security is in anything on this earth, you can forget it. You're going to be distressed. Your security's not there. You're trusting the wrong thing. Believers come angry at God. They blame God for what's going on. Or they go into self-pity. I deserve this. I'm a loser. I don't deserve your love. And boy, I sinned. I had an abortion. I did this. I do that. I deserve you. All these kinds of things. You're never going to experience a life absent of stress, anxiety, and depression. God doesn't love me anymore. God doesn't care about me anymore. If God loves me, this would not happen. Who told you that? Some preacher? Who told you that would not happen if God loved you? Is God's love for you dependent on that He gives you a nice, smooth sailing through life or solve the problem in 30 minutes like a sitcom, microwave generation we live in? Who told you that's what love was about? Let me ask you something. What is the demonstration of love that no matter what's going on in your life, I can give you peace and I can give you joy and I can give you love no matter what's happening in your life? Now you talk about that. Get your eyes off of the circumstances. Get your eyes on who you are in Christ. And that will be the end of stress, anxiety, and depression. This verse tells you what it is really going on if you experience stress, anxiety, and depression. It means you're not trusting Him. You do not have your mind set on Him. You're not living who you are in Christ. It is not God. He's right there, people. It's you and me. It's not God withholding something. Oh, your view of God is, boy, I just want these people to be distressed and miserable and self-pity. Boy, I love that. That's what kind of God I am. I love to see my people just stressed out. I love to see my people distressed. That only works in country music. You must think I look good with tears in my eyes because you always make me cry. See? That makes good country music. But that doesn't make a good God. That's not God. God has set it up where you don't have to. God has set it up, and that's the verse. You don't have to experience stress, anxiety, and depression. It's not God, it's us. What God is looking for is a mind that will trust Him even when there is no reason to trust Him. The steadfast of mind, thou wilt keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee. The mind set, stayed on you, dependent on you. You, God, will keep or maintain in perfect peace through the power of your Spirit. Because he trusts in you. Now let's learn a little about faith in closing. Here you're going to learn some things now. Or at least be reminded of some if you already knew it. Please understand this. Faith does not cause this peace. Faith does not cause this peace to be present in you. Faith receives this peace. Faith accesses this peace. I'll put it on the board. Faith does not cause anything. Faith does not cause anything. Faith is not active. Faith is passive. Faith receives this peace. Faith receives the absence of stress, anxiety, and depression. Faith does not cause things to happen. Pattern. Faith does not save you. Faith accesses or receives the salvation provided by God, the salvation that is already there. You are not saved by faith. You are saved by the person and work of Jesus Christ. Your faith in Jesus Christ allows God to save you. Your faith taps into the work of God. Your faith allows you to receive the work of Christ. Faith does not restore you from sin. Faith receives, accesses the restoration that is already there by God. It just simply recedes. Faith does not initiate toward God, people. Initiating toward God is active. Don't ever think your faith initiates. Your faith accesses, receives the restoration that God has already given. Your faith depends, or excuse me, responds to what God freely offers and freely gives. Your faith doesn't cause anything to happen. This isn't dependent on you, people. A life free of stress, anxiety, and depression does not depend on you. That's why it can happen in your life. I'm too weak. I hurt too much when friends hurt me. When things don't work out the way I want. I can't make peace happen. I'm too weak, God. You're going to have to do it. And God says, I will do it. If you will trust me, if you will receive my peace, if you will just receive it, I'll do it. God, I wish I was strong like other people and they could just overlook things. And boy, they're strong enough. I can't do that, God. It just hurts too deep. I cannot produce this peace. You don't have to. I didn't come for those who don't need me. Do you know why a lot of Christians don't walk by faith out there? They don't need God. Do you know why a lot of people don't believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? They don't need Jesus Christ. They got their denomination. They've got their ritual. They've got their lordship. They've got their invitations. They got their works. They don't need to just trust Him. Do you know why people do not just trust the Holy Spirit for restoration from sin? They don't need Him. They've got their confession. They've got their repentance. They've got their remorse. They've got all of that stuff. They don't need Him. Let me tell you something. When you have stress and distress and depression in your soul and there's not a thing you can do about it, now you're ready to receive His peace. And He'll give it to you. God, I've tried everything. And I can't produce the peace. Then trust me. I'll give it to you. God, I just don't want any more stress and depression. I've had enough. I've tried drinking. I've tried this. I've tried that. I've tried yoga. I've lived in the gym. I've done this. And I'm still depression. I can cry right in the gym. And I've seen a few people do that. And I know what's going on in their soul. Heavy. Things hurt, divorce, death, loss, failures, sins. Trying to take care of it. Trying to get a little peace. Stop trying. I'll give it to you. Just trust me. Faith does not cause these things to happen. Faith receives them. Faith does not initiate toward God. Faith responds to what God freely gives. Faith does not initiate to God for salvation. God comes to us and offers it, and faith receives. Now in your life, you do not have freedom from this AD in your life by faith. You receive this peace from God that is already not received the freedom of stress, anxiety, and depression by your faith. You receive this peace from God. It's already there. Faith just receives it. I trust you to give it. As soon as you realize that your eternal life is a work of God, then you know it has to be by faith only. As soon as you realize that restoration and deliverance of God, you know it's got to be by faith alone. And people, as soon as you realize a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression is a work of God, then you know it's by faith alone. Faith does not cause something to happen. Faith receives what God does. Faith receives, calls peace. Look at your verse now again. The steadfast of mind, you God will keep in perfect trust in thee. Note, it is God who keeps the mind in perfect peace. It is not you. It doesn't say, we'll keep your mind free of stress, anxiety, and depression. It says, you keep your mind stayed on Him, you trust Him, He will keep your mind in perfect peace. That you do not have stress, anxiety, and depression. You can't go write a book. I figured it all out. Let me tell you how to do it. God who does it. It is not because you have a steadfast mind. Now, stay with me. Stay with me. I know what time it is. I know you're tired. But look, it is not because you have a steadfast mind. In other words, a steadfast mind does not produce this peace. God produces this peace. The steadfast mind is a mind that just continually trusts Him. It stayed on Him. And so God can act in your life. Your faith doesn't create this peace. Your faith does not cause the absence of stress and depression in your life. It is God who creates this peace, and He does it out of His love. It's freely given to you. All you have to do is trust Him. Your faith receives what God does. Your faith receives the work of God. Your faith receives what God gives. You have stress in your life, anxiety and depression. You know why? Because you're not trusting. Your faith cannot cause this peace to come about. Your faith cannot remove stress from your life. Faith does not cause anything to happen. It's not active. Faith doesn't save. Faith doesn't heal a broken heart. Faith doesn't mend a tormented soul. Faith doesn't remove distress from a soul and pain from things that happened and happened or are happening in our life. All faith will do is access to the peace that God gives. Don't make faith a work, people. Don't make it active. It's not a matter of you need more faith. Well, I just don't have enough faith. If I have stress anymore, I need more faith. And God is looking for more and more faith. He's not looking for more faith from you. He's looking for that little grain of mustard seed like He gave Him at the cross. I just trust you. God, I'm so miserable in this marriage, so distressful in circumstances of my life. My husband, my wife, my parents have convinced me I'm a loser, and I'm just distressed about the whole thing. I'm just going to have to forget all of the world and set my mind on You. And watch what starts to happen. Your parents, husband, wife, friends, Job's three friends who were Christians, all these people all outside, how people let you down, people lie to you, people hurt you, people do this, you're not mad at them anymore. It's just, you've closed all that out. It's all related to the earth. You set your mind on things above and watch how peace comes in. Watch how it sets in and removes the stress, anxiety, and depression. Moment by moment faith. Keep on trusting. Keep that steadfast mind set on Him. Let me put it into 5 points. One, you do not cause this peace. You do not cause this peace. And remember, when I say peace, I'm talking about, one, the absence of stress, anxiety, and depression, and two, the presence of inner peace. You do not cause this. Two, God causes it. Three, you receive it. Four, how? By trusting Him in the midst of the circumstances of your life, past, present, what you think is the future, you trust Him. Life's all over. There used to be a song, "I'll Never Smile Again." Made up your mind. I'm going to be miserable the rest of my life, and that's it. And by God, nobody's going to make me happy. All right? Nobody will either. You will be miserable. Or you can say, you know what? Circumstances of life, my husband, my wife, my friends, things that aren't happening that I wish would, and all of this kind of finances, health, I'm not going to let them take away my joy in Christ. I'm not going to let them get, I'm keeping my mind set right up here. People don't want to hurt me. People don't want to do this. People don't want to do that. My husband doesn't want to love me. My wife doesn't want to love me. My children, my parents, my friends, all of that. Okay, that hurts. But I'm keeping my mind set right up here. Because He does love me. And that's where I'm going to be forever. And I'm just going to tune into it right now. Keep my mind stayed on that. Keep my mind stayed on Him. And God will pour in this perfect peace inside your soul. So point five, point one, you don't cause this peace. Point two, God causes it. Point three, you receive it. Point four, how? By trusting Him. Point four, how do you continually experience this peace? How do you continually experience the absence of stress, anxiety, and sadness in your soul? By continuing to keep your mind set on Him. Keep trusting Him. Keep trusting Him. I trust God. for this peace without changing the circumstances of my life. And people, he will honor that. Do you believe that if you trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're saved? Yes. Do you believe if you trust the Holy Spirit after you sin that He'll restore you? Yes. Then just trust Him to this peace. Keep your mindset. It's all up to you inside. Any questions on how to experience the absence of these things? Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you for hanging in a few minutes late. Wow. What an awesome God you are. You see, Father, we have a simple solution on earth. Just change the circumstances. We have a simple solution on earth, Father. If we need money, just win the lottery. Our simple solution demands we change the circumstances. What kind of God is this? It doesn't need to change the circumstances at all, but can come into our soul, remove stress and depression and distress, fears, and replace it with peace. There's just no excuse, Heavenly Father, for any Christian to live through a day distressed and depressed. You have offered so much. You sent your Spirit. I pray, Father, that these tapes will go to Christians, not to those who think they're strong and don't need it, but to Christians who hurt, who suffer, stress and depression, disorientation, and that your Spirit will open their eyes as to the peace that you give. What an awesome God you are, Father. We praise you in your Son's precious name.